Cowboy football team. Craig Bull joining us here on the program. About a month away from National Signing Day, the coaching staff working hard to put recruiting class number 3 together over there in Laramie. Coach, how you doing today?
Well, we're doing fairly well. We're in a little bit of a period where the NCAA says you cannot leave campus to recruit, and so it's a dead period. Of course, as coaches, we all walk around like cats on a hot tin roof. But we've got a great start, and that's not rhetoric or Donald Trump talk. I mean, we feel like we're in a pretty good position where we've garnered a lot of verbal commitments. You know, I can't specifically talk about those guys, but we've got the lion's share of our class verbally committed, and we've got some offers out, and then we'll close in on signing day.
What do you guys do in these dead periods? And all, I'm just curious. I don't know if I've ever asked a football coach
like play video games or solitaire or, you know.
My wife kicks me the hell out of the house. And you run around and you're going Mach 1 and you drink coffee and you go 100 miles an hour and suddenly you hit a stop button. Well, what we have done, we've gone back through and we've reprioritized all the recruiting tape. What is amazing these days is, you know, the video footage that you can watch is literally at the fingertips of your laptop. And so while we have been out and we've had contact with a lot of these prospects and, you know, kind of get a pulse on who they are, then we've gone back through and, you know, reevaluated and reshuffled, you know, our priority list. And then we're going to get ready to go down to our National Coaches Convention. That's going to be in San Antonio. And that's an opportunity for our coaches to go down and gain some professional experience and exposure to other programs. And so that's coming up this weekend. And then we'll be out hitting the recruiting trails a week from today.
Craig, I got to ask you a question, because when my daughter was looking to go to school, we had all these companies coming around wanting to put together highlight tapes. You know, we'll get you a highlight tape. We'll take all your better plays, put them together, and we'll send it out to these colleges and universities. Do you guys rely on actual game footage that you get from the schools to look at, so you get all the good and the bad when you're looking at a player and a potential player that you've, you know, that you're looking at tape on? You get the raw footage so you see everything?
Well, everybody does things differently, and so I can speak on what we do here. You know, with the advent of one of these services is called Huddle, and they've got a national network all over the country to where, you know, they'll ask schools to purchase a certain amount, and then you have access, and you have access to the highlight tape, and then you have access to raw footage. And the best way I can relate it to is when you're going to get married, you know, your potential spouse, she can look all great and on and on and on, but you want to see what a bad hair day looks like too. You know, we all chuckle, but some of these guys, you can pick out 15 plays, and that can show you what the top side of a guy can do. But how's this guy respond when, you know, he's thrown 4 picks in one game as a quarterback, or he's a defensive back and he misses 10 tackles? You're not going to see that on the highlight tape. And so what we strive to do is go back through and we grind through all the footage. And I know that Nick Saban, I mean, he spends a great deal of time during the fall, and he'll watch 2 to 3 games on every kid, and the good, bad, and the ugly. And that gives you a baseline, because sometimes you can get tricked. And Coach Osborne was my mentor, and he said, you know, sometimes film can lie to you too. And so that's where we've strived during the year to be out to games and to go to different places to actually see what a guy's like. And so we put it all together. You know, our first year, you know, this will be our third recruiting cycle here. Our first year, you know, we had 2 weeks, and so that was a hodgepodge. And there's been some good and some misses in there. The next year, you know, last year's freshman class, I think, was, you know, a significant difference. And we're in hopes that this year's class will be better than last year's class. And a lot of that comes through just us being able to pour through the tape. And for the listeners that are out there, I would encourage parents, if you have somebody that says, well, we can position your son or daughter, and you send us a check, and we're going to get you in the door, we're going to we're going to promote, we're going to do all these other things. You know what I'd say? Save your money, because those services typically are out there trying to make a buck. As college coaches and as high school coaches, we're just trying to do the best we can by the student athlete.
I was going to make a couple comments on that. Number one, I've never seen a bad highlight tape, number one. And number two, I don't think your spouse has ever had a bad hair day.
Oh, yes, she has. She's probably. Now, once again, she does radio. She doesn't do TV. So, like I said, I have seen the good, bad.
Oh, down there in the studio at 6 o'clock in the morning, it's not all that terrific?
Well, I'm going to hold my comment on that. But I can just tell you, you know what, when you're looking at college prospects, you need to see the full body of work.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And some of that, okay, how consistent are they? And for us to be successful at the University of Wyoming, we are a developmental program. You know, we're not the school that's going to go out and be caught up with the 4- and 5-star recruits. We're needing to find the student athlete that has potential, that wants to grow, but we need to see consistent progress.
Wyoming head football coach Craig Bull joining us here in the program. And coach, you know, looking back at last year, I know wins and losses did not go the way that I don't think anybody involved in the program wanted it to go. But what did you really take out of last season? You know, there were some bright spots. There were some not so bright spots. Where do you stand? What did you take out of it?
Well, I think some things, and we saw an ebb and flow coming. You know, football, every coach is going to talk about what's different in their sport. Football is a physical sport. It's a sport of maturity. It's a man's game played by men. And one coach told me it'll bury your soul naked. Well, that last year did. But we knew we had a large senior class when we first got here for several reasons. And this was going to be a year where we were going to have a ton of young players playing. And you get in the middle of it, and you know you're young until you get in the middle of it, either through emotional maturity or physical maturity. There was a lot of growing pains that we went through. And so what we did see was we saw improvement during the course of the year. And the other thing that we did see was a galvanized, never give up attitude to stay in the fight. And those are elements as a coaching staff that you look and say, okay, we can build on this. When you have a young freshman offensive tackle who weighs 270 pounds but has great feet, well, put 25 pounds on him and another year of experience, and now he's 295 and his feet are still as good and he's got some experience. So, you know, we went through a lot of bumps last year, and you know, we were pleased with our effort. I can tell you, yeah, you know, for me being head football coach and look up at the end of the year and say you won 2 games, that's unacceptable. However, I knew we were going to be in a transition time, and to move our football program forward, we had a choice to either mortgage the farm or say, if you have some NFL listeners out there, to go out on the I don't want to say the marketplace, but NFL teams will try to flip their squad in a hurry and add a bunch of free agents or build it through the draft. Well, we chose to take the long-term approach and recruit a lot of high school guys, and many of them were from this geographical area. And there's going to be a process you're going through. So that process was not fun. You know, it'll be interesting, and we're in hopes and we're confident that this spring you're going to see much more maturity and much more competent play, and so you don't have, i.e., the freshman mistakes or, you know, a guy being light in the britches. We got to have some lead in our pencil this next year.
I tell you what, one of the bright spots, I enjoy watching Brian Hill run. I enjoy watching good running backs run, and he runs so angry when he's out there. And I, you know, a lot of listeners have, well, we worry about him getting hurt and all that. He delivers the blow. He doesn't absorb it. He delivers it, and he is something else to watch run, coach, and it's got to be a pleasure for you to be coaching him and see him continue to get better, because I mean, you get a little bit more size on that frame. I mean, he's dangerous. I mean, he's that's something to build off of offensively as well.
Well, you hit the nail on the head. He runs with a violent nature, and football is a And once again, I mean, if the Albany County Sheriff Department came on the football field, they'd arrest everybody because it's a physical, violent deal down there. And the guys that play in the trenches that are physical, and Brian is one of them, that's part of football. And you're right. And Brian was a product of that first class that we had. And like I said, there was a lot of misses. If you look down our roster, the number of guys that were there, heck, we had 2 weeks to put a thing together, but he was a bright spot. And he's a team player. He's worked hard. I'll agree with you, another 10 pounds on him, and he's going to probably get a tenth faster in the 40. You've got a uniquely gifted player, and we'll leverage that next year. I'm an old defensive coordinator. And, you know, the one thing you don't want as a defensive guy, if you look out there and say, this team can just run it down our throat, and this guy's a great running back, I'm going to tell you, you're going to plus one in the box, which means to your listeners, you're going to allocate more guys to make sure that you can stop the run. Well, when you do that, then all of a sudden that opens up all those elements in the passing game, i.e. play action pass or some things that you can do when you're not always in third down and long. And so having Brian back next year is going to be great. I had a great visit with him. I spent some time with him during the Christmas break with he and his mother, and we talked about his future and what kind of year that we believe that he can have.
Couple quick things, Coach, before we let you go. You know, Josh Allen, unfortunately, got hurt early in the season. What's his status after, you know, the collarbone injury? And then when do you have a plan on when you're going to start spring ball yet?
The second question is, we do have a plan when we're going to start spring football. And our days are going to be practicing. We're going to practice on Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturday, and those practices will start. My laptop is a little bit slow, and I'm an old guy, but they're going to be at the tail end of March, and that schedule will be released, and we'll have a spring game, and we'll note that as well. The first question about Josh Allen was he has made a great recovery, and you know, he was able to throw the football at the tail end of the year. However, he was never cleared for full contact. He had a lot of surgical. I mean, I bet if he goes through an airport, he's going to chime off on the you know, the alarm, because they got a lot of pins and metal in him. But he was able to come back, and really his velocity got better. We believe that he's got a huge upside. He's got the strongest arm of any quarterback that we've worked with. And we've had some really good quarterbacks. And so what will be the challenge, though, is the number of game repetition that he had. You know, he played the first quarter of the Eastern Michigan game, and he looked like $1 million. But, you know, that was just one quarter. And he's going to need to learn to see, okay, you've got all kinds of different coverages, all kinds of different elements. So for him to take a step forward this next year, we're going to have open competition, but I can tell you he's got some talent that his arm strength will be, in my mind, if he's not the top thrower as far as his velocity, he's one of the top three in the league, and that's a, you know, I can say that pretty candidly. Now he's got to hone up his accuracy. But he can throw the ball through a barn, I can tell you that.
Coach, just one final comment. I see you talked about your mentor, Dr. Tom. He's going to be in Cheyenne first part of April for the he's a featured speaker at the fundraiser for the Fanfare for Education for St. Mary's School here in Cheyenne. So that should be a lot of fun to get him into Cheyenne and
get him
out there for a lot of folks.
He's had a passion for a couple things. First of all, he's always appreciated athletics. He's very passionate about his faith. He's got a strong Christian faith. He's always given his time and his talents to that. And then education is huge. You know, a lot of people don't realize he's got a PhD in educational psychology. And his first role at the University of Nebraska, he did academic counseling before there was academic counselors. And so it does not surprise me. And the other thing that also is always great, you know, he purposely chose to represent the 3rd District of Nebraska when he ran for the House. And I scratched my head. I said, well, Coach, why? How come you're not running for Senate? You know, And he kind of looked at me and goes, well, you know, that's such a partisan deal. And he said, I'm just going to go in there and tell everybody what I think. And if they vote for me, great. And he purposely chose the western portion of Nebraska because as a young child, his grandfather took him all through those small towns. And so it does not surprise me. You know, he'll be in Cheyenne, which is, you know, we're trying to come up with a petition to get everything from Ogallala west to secede to become in Wyoming. Maybe we don't want one, but it does not surprise me he's out here. I know he's been in Casper, and he loves to trout fish, and he loves this part of the state.
Good to hear from you, Coach. We appreciate it, and we'll talk soon when that recruiting class comes
okay,
out.
Guys.
Thanks.
Bye. Bye.